Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming along, and thank you for Keith for organizing this. I'm going to take you through two different subjects today. One is how law works, and within the law, there's going to be some divisions, which is maritime law, international law, and the use of your language. It's the language that gives you the jurisdiction. I'll be covering a subject called death by medication. It's a report that was written and commissioned by Dr. Null. He states quite clearly, with all the evidence provided, that medication is the biggest killer on our planet, as well as a few other words. So I'll be covering two subjects and what that is about and why we are covering two subjects simultaneously, because they are one and the same subject, really. Okay. Now, before we do that, before I go into the seminar itself and the talk about the language and the law, international law, I'm going to get you guys to watch a short film. It's only about 5 or 6 minutes long, and it's nothing more than about the life of a cell. Okay? Once you've watched it, presumably that will prime you as to let you know the things that are going around in your world on a cellular level as well as on a panoramic level, that very few people ever gets to see how life actually works. So this is a priming video to show you the life of a cell. And it's going to last about 3-4 minutes, and that's all. From the images that you saw on the life of a cell, those images were seen by people over 100 years ago, who created optical microscopes that were able to penetrate the cell membrane and move into that world, that universe that you see. But for some reason, none of you have access to an optical microscope that can see the cell membrane or a cell or the organelles inside a cell or how they function. There is a reason for that, because under international maritime law, all of you are dead. You are dead. You've been dead for a very long time. More serious than you can possibly imagine. And no dead person will ever see life, will ever hear life, will never speak of life. You will never make contract with each other, and you shall make no contract or a covenant with your God. And that's the world that you live in. How that is done is with the use of language, and I'm going to cover that in more detail. As we speak, we're just going through life babbling with each other. That language is known as Babel. Since we speak a language of Babel, what's interpreting the things that we're saying is our subconscious ability to make those interpretations. And this is how they get you switched off or stand down, and that's what you essentially are. You're walking around where your subconscious is stood down. You don't have access to it. You don't have access to it because the words that you are using locks you out of your subconscious mind. And as I go through what maritime law is, what federal law is, you'll start to see a glimpse of how this is done, the language that you use. And I'll bring all those subjects in together, and I'll do my best to explain it, how they're using that to enforce that you shall not make no contract with your God or covenant. You shall make no contracts with you each yourself. You cannot hear or see life. And yet the Royal Rife microscope is available. You can get one. The Chinese are making it, but yet nobody seems to know anything about it. They're using optical lenses made out of silicon to be able to see intercellular life in real time and photograph it. So I mentioned that because it's there, and yet nobody seems to have access to it. The specimens that you see, for example, your blood specimens or your tissue specimens, all are seen as dead. They are dead. And when they look at the item under the microscope, it's actually dead. They're actually looking at something that is dead because you cannot see life. You're not allowed to see life. Because if any one of you work out how that cell works, you're going to figure out everything. If one of you work out how the ecosystem of this planet works, you'll figure out everything. If one of you work out how your language works and how it programs your conscious, your subconscious, and your unconscious mind, it's all over. Okay? One of the things that they have to do, and I'm going to make some sweeping statements, and I'll qualify it as I go along. One of the things that they have to do is that they always tell you the truth. And I say the word always. Whenever they don't, they get caught out. There's a reason why that is. Your subconscious mind works at 120 times faster than your conscious mind does. 120 times faster. I am unable to go into the world of the unconscious because it is unconscious. So I will stick with the subconscious. Since it works 120 times faster than your conscious mind, it knows when you're lying, it knows when you're telling the truth, and it knows what the facts are, and it's already performed those calculations 120 times way before the conscious mind gets to it. And you might feel it as a sense of intuition or a dream. And then you act on it, or your conscious mind acts on it 120 years later when it's all over. And that's known as a migration period. That's how long sometimes it can take if one does not listen to their instincts for that information that the subconscious mind gave you, either in the solar plexus or any other part of the world, to alert you to that something is not quite right. That's how long it can might take to migrate to the conscious mind. If your subconscious has been made to stand down and your conscious mind has been put into a state of fear. If you are disconnected from your subconscious mind, your conscious mind is in a state of fear. Abject fear. And that is what they do to you in the courtrooms. When you walk in, even before you've gone into the building, they get you petrified. And since you're petrified, you don't really have access to your subconscious mind. And on occasions that it will force its way through, they get it to stand down. And that's called an interruption. And I'll go through all those things, how they do that. A handshake interruption is what hypnotics would call it, a handshake interruption. And it takes less than a half a second, a quarter of a second to put somebody into a trance state. Okay? Before I go into the actual courtrooms, when we start to walk into the courtrooms, I'm going to go over the period that your conscious mind and your subconscious flicks over. And it's around you all the time. The job of the higher ranking judges is to make sure that they're quite literally flicking you in and out all the time. Up to now, you may not understand what I'm talking about until I give you the example. So here, a simple child's drawing of a box. We've seen that many a times. Keep watching it, everybody. Keep watching it, as well as the people on behind the camera. Keep watching it, and something will happen. And it happens to you all the time. Tell me when it happens. Everybody call it out in their own time.
Yes.
It happened a long time ago.
Change of dimension.
Tesseract.
Has it changed yet for you?
It looks longer.
Okay. Keep looking at it. Keep looking at it. Tell me when it changes.
Okay.
Has it changed for you yet?
Yeah.
It's changed.
Every time I blink, it changes.
Right before you is a mechanism that nature created to be for you to be able to create your own perspective, okay? And this changing that you see is your subconscious flicking it around so you can see it from a different angle without actually it moving to a different angle. I held the paper. So nature is creating this all the time for you. And the period that it's doing that with you, that mini second that it's doing, is known as a trance state. And when that trance state occurs, you can see it in people's eyes. Your eyes start to flicker, even your skin becomes moist, and then it flicks over. The time it takes for you individuals to make that transition, where you are seeing it from this angle and then you see it from the angle, is the time period that your own subconscious mind works at in order to change that. And that's individual to all of you. Some people, it's a wink of an eye. Some people, it goes in and out hundreds of times a millisecond. The quicker it goes, the more simulated you are with your subconscious. Nature's gift. But what they do, the courts, is that they use these nature's gifts to lock you down. So when you are making a point of what you have seen, they just use the words to swap it so they convince you to see something else. And they say, case dismissed. Yeah? And the language is what enables that to happen. Okay.
Can this be increased by a process, or is it desirable to increase that speed of changing of
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. But what I'm covering is that they're doing it, they're changing it for you. I'm showing you something that happens naturally. And I'm going to show you how they're using nature's gifts to lock you down. But what about the language? The language is what I'm going to cover, because they're using language. Okay. So before I go on to that, let's go on to the courtrooms. So before you go into a courtroom, you've been presumably summoned. Anybody here quickly can call out to me what a summons is?
Invitation.
Sorry?
Invitation.
One is an invitation. I-N ironically means no invitation, by the way. No invitation. That's what it means, and I'll cover that. Anybody else? Any other takers?
It's a command.
Only an authority can give a command. People of low ranking that have no power give orders. Those that have power give commands, like military officers, people with weapons, and so on and so forth. That's another bit of a language. So, beg your pardon, that's another bit of language that I'll cover as well. Sorry, beg your pardon?
Request.
Yeah, RE also means no quest. So you are not on a quest. That's how they got you to stand down. So I'll speed it up a little bit. I'll pretend that I'm an agent of the FBI. Okay? I'm an agent of the FBI. Soon as you hear that word, agent of the FBI, you're already locked into a sense of terror, because the FBI comes with terror. It means that they are an authority, you have done something wrong, and they have power over you. But your subconscious mind is supposed to kick in. Your subconscious mind works 120 times faster. If it has full access to your psychomotor skills, it'll pick up the FBI agent and chuck him to a side, effortlessly. Yeah, like any animal on this planet can do. My pet dog, when he was alive, could tear open the entire house, and he did so once. He put a whole great big hole inside my Victorian door, and that door is that thick. He chewed it right through because I locked him in there by accident. What am I saying? The point is, when your subconscious mind is alerted, it will perform any task that you want it to. It doesn't matter if it's a car that's on top of your baby, it will pull that aside. It doesn't matter if you're the highest ranking authority on the planet, it will nullify you. It will reduce you to nothing. So the only way that they can get you to stand down is to shut that subconscious mind off. According to a lie detector, say a machine invented by Carl Gustav Jung, there's something in you that alerts you to the fact that something is not true. What's happening is that your subconscious mind, since it knows the answers already, is alerting you to the fact that it knows the answer, not that it does not know the answer, not that you don't know the answer, it's just that the answer is that and only that. And that's how a lie detector machine works. So if I approach you and say, I'm an agent of the FBI, I've essentially shut down your subconscious mind, which is called stand down. Because your subconscious mind knows what an A before a gent means. It means no gentleman. And if I tell the truth, why would the subconscious help you out? I've been honorable by telling the subconscious, I'm a no gentleman. But your conscious mind doesn't know these things. All it knows is that you're an FBI agent. And that's all it knows. They've now locked you out from your subconscious mind. Once that's done, and that subconscious is separated, you are left on by yourself, with your own thoughts, which is known as surface noise, going round and round, and fear starts to take you over. Once that happens, you have very little control even of your psychomotor skills. You might even pee yourself. Happens quite a lot. Okay? So, what does an A before a gent mean? It means no gentleman. How do we know that? If I was to accuse him of being amoral, what have I just said to him?
Not moral.
So an A before a word as a prefix means the very opposite what you think it is. So they created a language for you known as Babel, where your conscious mind speaks this language of no moral, of independence, of request. It speaks this language with dualities and meanings, with quadruple meanings. And some of these words can have hundreds of meanings. By doing so, your subconscious is separated. And with that separation, they created another language, the language of telling you the truth. I'm an agent, which means I'm not a gentleman. It's one of the ways of fright. If you cannot control your fear, if you do not have control over it, they will always have control over you. Because one of the things that the fear does is it locks you out of the subconscious mind, whereas it's supposed to alert you. Okay? So, that is that. And I'll go over more and more detail, and I'll build up a volume or a body of thought around those words so you'll get to see it. A summons to go to court and say what you need to do. You've been accused of something, yeah? A summons essentially is nothing more than a bill of ladings. It's what one ship captain would give to another to say, you owe me this or you owe me that. And you would go aboard a ship and say, well, I don't really owe that to you at all because we've settled. And you would go, oh yeah, you're right, sorry about the misunderstanding, and you'd be on the way. Okay? That's all that is. So how the hell did they get you to believe that you're going into a courtroom where everything is going to be equal? They lied to your conscious mind but tell you the truth in a subconscious world. Because soon as you walk in, your subconscious will scan everything and it'll know this is nothing more than a game. And it's going to help you out, yeah, to make a game. And that's all it thinks it is. It's a game. One of the things that hypnotists will remind you is that the subconscious does not hear, see, or anything. It doesn't perceive negatives. It doesn't know what thou shalt not means or don't. Any of these negative words, it has no access to it and it doesn't understand it. It's called a negative state of condition. And your subconscious will not accept it because there's nothing there. It can't perform a negative state of condition. It can't go around thinking, thou shalt not kill thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, whatever the commandments are, thou shalt not park on the red, yellow line, thou shalt not walk on the grass. It doesn't think like that. You cannot walk around life doing that. So you're locked out, constantly locked out. And they use these negative words in your everyday world all the time, so you don't really have access to your subconscious. Okay? So, he's got a summons. You say it's an invitation. Well, an invitation is a good thing. So we go to court, but in reality we're a little bit frightened, because that's an unknown. And we go into court, and what does a court mean? Me and him are going to play tennis tomorrow. What is a court?
It's a field. It's supposed to be a playing field.
A level playing field. Mm. Yeah? Because if I am standing 10 foot or 2 foot or 3 inches above him, I've disabled him. Yeah? Mm. And if I'm just sitting in a very small area where he's got 10 meters to run from one point to the other, I've disabled him even further. So when you go into a court, your subconscious hears, oh, he's going to go and play a game of tennis or football. Everything is played on level playing field. So you get an invitation to go to court to play something. It's how the subconscious mind is interpreting. Your conscious mind is now fearful. It's going to court because there's a lot of priming behind those words. Authorities are there. Judges are there. People are going to judge you. Already you're in a state of fear. And then you go into the court, and as soon as you go into the court, what do you see? Unlevel playing field. I've never seen a place where you play games where everything is unleveled for you. He or she sitting above on top of you which means they're not going to play any games with you. And not only that, they're on a different plane to you, a higher plane. Nothing in the room is actually at eye level. Nobody is sitting on a level playing field at all. And then they ask you to make a plea. Well, if I asked him to make a plea, what have I asked him to do?
Say please.
Mm. Plead, beg.
Beg.
Mm. Keith, can you beg, please? Show me how you beg. I don't think you should resist. It's only a game, after all. Mm-hmm. It's in a court. Come on, beg. Your subconscious will help you out. It will beg. Mm-hmm. And your conscious mind doesn't have access to anything. It's now locked into fear. And they ask you to go into a box. Under maritime law, boxes are omitted. And in that particular box is your prison.
Boxes are boxes.
They're omitted. They don't exist in a court.
Omitted.
Yeah, four corners. So, as soon as you go in, you're standing inside a box, and that box has a fence around it. Just looks like a prison bar, because it is a bloody prison bar. If you leave that area without the judge's permission, they can arrest you. They can arrest you because you voluntarily went into prison. Voluntarily. Your subconscious mind just simply walked you in there because it's a game. But your conscious mind is fear. Control the fear, you start to see things in a very different way. Understand the language that they're using, and then the game is over for them. So you've now gone into a court where you know it is not a level playing field. So it's not a court. Somebody's sitting on top of you. You've voluntarily walked into a prison, so you know that's definitely not a court, because you're standing in a box. And you need permission from the judge to leave that box. So that is definitely not a court. No referee is ever going to ask you to beg for something. They're going to ask you to play the game. And we'll make sure everything is level for you. Level. Without any boxes. And if there are any boxes, that's the parameters of the game. Like hitting the ball too far or kicking it to one side and it goes out of court. Goes out of court. So we know the whole thing is a lie. So you're in court and you've made your plea. How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty? Not guilty. I'm not guilty. That's my begging. That's me pleading. Not guilty. The judge tells you it's my job to make sure that you are guilty or not guilty. You've now surrendered. And if you've hired a solicitor, you've essentially signed your way to say that you're an incompetent of the court. An incompetent. That you are incapable of functioning in a court. He now begins to make his plea before the judge. The game is already finished. They've already decided what they're going to do. So, you look at the judge, and the judge is sitting, usually under a small canopy. You'll see it on top of him. And if he's not, he's usually got a little hat on, a little black or white hat. The barristers, I think, have a white one. I think the judges have a black one. Anybody know what that is? If a religious person is wearing one of those things, what does it mean?
To hide their thoughts from God.
Their wicked thoughts from God.
Is it?
To hide their wicked thoughts from God. So God may not see me do evil upon another person. And if he's not wearing it, it'll be on top of him. So God may not look down and judge that person for what he is. A liar, a thief, a murderer, a rapist, an opinionator is what a judge is. That's in your dictionaries. So already they've openly told you what they're up to. They've told that to the subconscious. But your conscious mind cannot see any of these things. Okay? Yeah. Anybody can tell me what that black robe is? Sorry?
Magic.
Priesthood.
I can't hear you guys.
Priest.
Sorry?
Priest.
Okay, a priest robe. Anybody else?
I said magic.
Vampire.
Huh? Vampires? Anybody else? It has a word. It has a word, that robe.
Masters.
Cape.
Master.
Cape is another one. What does cape do?
Covers up.
Yeah, covers up. Okay. It's called the mourning robe.
Mourning.
Mourning robe.
With you or without you?
It's called a mourning robe. Good morning, mourning are actually one and the same word. It means the death of. It means the death of, in that room, what you perceive to be as justice. To be just. Even to ask for justice is to... It is the death of justice. It's called the mourning robe. He puts it on to let you know, let the subconscious mind know, that there is no justice here. What you perceive to be just. What you perceive to be just. Okay? So all this information, all this ritual, all of this for your subconscious mind and for your conscious mind to go haywire. They've already told you who they are. It's only your conscious mind that believes the lie, as it believes in any lie. In the 80s, the IRA was a terrorist, and they posed to terrorize me. In the 60s, it was the communist, I believe. Never turned up. And then in the 80s, it was black drug dealers. They didn't quite turn up either. And then it was in the late 90s, it was the Muslims posed to terrorize me. They never really turned up. And before any of that, it was a war on cancer. We're going to kill cancer. There was no war on cancer. Then it was a war on communism. War on this, war on that. They go to great lengths, and this is where my speciality is. They go to great lengths in telling you the truth. Great lengths. And they have to do that, otherwise your subconscious mind is going to alert you to the fact that something is not quite right. And once that creature wakes up, everything is over. Because it's going to level the playing field. It's going to dismiss the judge. It's going to tell the solicitor, go and prostitute yourself somewhere else, because that's what soliciting means. Yeah? So far we spoke about in the courtroom. What about before you even go to court? Usually see scales. Yeah, symbolic language. Your subconscious mind lives on symbolic language.
Justice.
Yeah? What does it have? Sword on one hand and scales on the other. And what is scales supposed to do?
Balance.
Supposed to create zero.
Balance.
Zero.
Zero the account.
Zero the account. Zero. If it doesn't, the sword arm will take your head off. Yeah? I'm going to create this with that. That's my power. It's already openly declared to you what you're walking into, albeit your subconscious mind. I was recently watching a video on Carl Lentz when he came over to Britain to brief us on how common law works. And he was talking about use of language as well. And he was talking about how if a person, say a lady, suffered rape and she went to claim justice, which means to just state, to punish, went into a prison box voluntarily and said she had suffered rape by this person. And he reminds you how quickly the judge can say, case dismissed. How the hell would that happen? Anybody give me an idea? How did that happen?
Just supposed to allow.
Just one at a time?
Just supposed to allow.
Sorry?
Just suffer is to allow.
No, I don't believe that. How can that possibly be? This person has suffered rape and she has said that I have now voluntarily...
Jesus said, suffer the little children, allow the little children to come unto me. But to suffer is to allow.
There you go. One language for the conscious mind, another language for the subconscious mind. I suffered rape. I consented to the rape. Case dismissed. That's how easy things are, as you point out. So, it appears that if we take control of our language and the things that we say, we'll start to have more dominance. Because I did not suffer rape. The people in Australia, the natives, did not suffer rape. They were raped. They were murdered, pillaged from, buggered, so on and so forth. The word is not suffer. The people in America, or the natives in America, didn't suffer rape. They were raped, murdered, tortured. Word is talk, T-O-R-T, T-O-R-T, talk, taught, sorry, beg your pardon. Yeah?